Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. On today's In Focus, we're talking about Lyme disease. My guests are Cecile Goff, a former oncology nurse who has battled Lyme disease for many years, and Molly McKinney and Dylan Petkus, both medical doctors in the United States who are assisting Cecile in her recovery. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us today, all of you.
Yes, thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. So first, tell us a little bit about yourselves and how Lyme disease has become part of your lives. Cecile, let's start with you.
Well, Linda, I'm a former oncology nurse from Newfoundland. I got Lyme disease about, 28 years ago when I trained with the British Army in an area that's now known to be endemic for Lyme disease. Nobody was talking about it then. And the symptoms came up slowly, but were pronounced, and then kind of led to this big falling apart of my life back in 2004. And then it took 10 years to get a diagnosis, which I got through the US. And I couldn't believe how much I fell through the cracks, even though I'm a nurse and I know the system, the healthcare system intimately as a nurse and a patient. And I fell through the cracks spectacularly, which led myself to this. I went to the States for treatment because I couldn't get treated in Canada.
Okay,
it's not properly recognized in Canada.
Okay, we'll get back to that in a few minutes. I just want to bring Molly in here and get a little bit about herself.
Yes, so I, in regards to Lyme or my background?
Yeah, just a little bit about your background, Molly, your training.
Yep. So I trained as an MD and an MPH, so had that medical doctor and master's in public health background. Always had a desire to really look at the underlying issues that really affect populations. then that took me to figure out that, you know, everything taught in medical school and beyond that with training didn't always help everyone and was really kind of putting a lot of band-aids on things. And so there was a point that I met Dylan when I was having my own issues and he helped me. And so that's how I got into all of this.
Dylan, what about you?
My background? So, I know this is radio, but we have a nice wood background behind us here in this office. But more seriously and specifically to the question is that in terms of, you know, the same medical journey, I started with like a PhD program and then all that stuff of where really moving towards medicine as a way to actually help people in that more direct fashion, as opposed to just learning more and having a nice paper. Papers are cool, don't get me wrong, but being able to really help people and go to medical school, and the same pattern comes up because, you know, like as Cecile was alluding to, you can be a person with the problem and have a real diagnosis, but still be in a system that does not get you well. And we won't go into, I mean, maybe we do go into that rabbit hole later, but really continuing on of being able to really, you know, in my learnings of being a very curious person and being a very different thinker, if I think is a safe word to say, really being able to have a different perspective and paradigm shift on how someone is healthy, as opposed to just focusing on like, what do we specifically do for this disease at this perhaps superficial level, and being able to really apply that to people over the years and help them really use those principles, including Cecile here, where, you know, whether it's Lyme, which I know will be a big topic of discussion here, or other components here, because when we get down to that deep core level of how that kind of all pans out, that's where you get some fun and exciting conversations like the one today.
All right. So Cecile, let's get back to you. And I'm just wondering what has been your biggest challenge in coping with this disease over the years?
The biggest challenge in Canada is getting help. I've seen 10 neurologists, 9 out of 10 said it was all in my head, a psychosomatic illness, which funny enough, it was all in my head. Once we got my brain scans from the US, we could clearly see the massive infection in my brain. And I was written off. I've seen more than 50 specialists. And whether it's Lyme or autoimmune disease or long haul COVID, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, which are all things that Molly and Dylan address, a lot of people just like me, like I'm one of thousands, tens of thousands that are falling through the cracks. So
were you able to get the help? You said you weren't able to get the help in Canada. Is that why you sought help in the United States?
That's correct. Yeah, I was refused assessment several times by infectious disease, which is the type of doctor that takes care of Lyme disease in Canada. And that's a whole other interview, Linda, to get into the controversy, mm-hmm. which I know you've spoke about repeatedly with your show. So I went for treatment with several doctors in the US, and it didn't get me where I really wanted to go and needed to go in terms of my health. I believe it did help in some ways, but then I found Dylan and Molly, and I just, of course, by this point, I was hugely skeptical, like many people are, but I just knew the more I listened to them over this matter of a few weeks, I just knew they were onto something. And it's mainly because I believe that they deal with the core root cause of this, which is mitochondria and circadian health, and like healing those two pieces, which a lot of other doctors talked about and alluded to, but I never got there because okay. I was always fighting the infection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'd like to hear from both the doctors on that as well. Molly, Dylan, whoever wants to jump in here, as far as what is your approach to treating people with Lyme, and is it a unique approach?
Yeah, and so in terms of being able to like view it from the bottom up and top down, there's kind of two different pieces here. We'll start at the bottom, the foundation here, because at a core level here, your body is able to thrive or not based on your mitochondria's ability to produce energy here. Okay. And this energy is like a budget, right? In a city of where, say, if there's not enough budget to go around, you're going to have some budget cuts. Maybe there's trash piling up. Maybe there's now crime running rampant. And, you know, if we kind of think of how the conventional versus this more foundational paradigm shift works, conventional would be like, okay, there's no budget in the city, but okay, everyone, you know, let's address this trash issue. Is it really a trash issue? No, it's a budget issue for the whole city, and where that's really where the core things are. And so that's at the foundation of being able to get your body to a level where it's not in this energy deficit, because when it is, that's when, say, one of the budget cuts your immune system, you get bit by a tick, you know, the spirochete comes in, and because you don't have that budget to deal with that, that's where it like runs rampant and all these other different problems accumulate, because it's really rarely just Lyme. Sometimes it is, it's still the same, you know, path to get there, but all those different components will come up because that budget is really being manifest in all these different ways here. So that's really the at the core there, being able to get your mitochondria producing energy and also being able to make them efficient. Okay. So this is more of a systems perspective here.
Because so you're talking about mitochondria. Do you want to explain mitochondria very quickly before you go any further?
Yeah. So mitochondria, and I'm going to trigger everyone's eighth grade biology memory here, is okay. The powerhouse of the cell. And essentially, it is producing energy. It produces a lot of other fun things here. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to downplay Mr. Mitochondria. Well, Mrs. She's a complex lady. Don't get me wrong. But being able to really have that energy that's produced to allow a lot of these cellular processes to happen, whether it is fighting off infections, whether it is being able to have good sleep, whether it's having good gut integrity, being able to digest food, it's going to produce the energy for all of that. So that's really what the mitochondria is at the core. And then the other piece to that is the circadian rhythm aspect, if you want me to dive deeper there.
Just explain that a little bit to the circadian rhythm.
It's how things are coordinated in working together here, because you can have energy, but does that mean you're using it correctly? And okay. If you don't believe me on that, drink 6 cups of coffee. Now, if you have like heart issues, don't do that. But otherwise, drink some coffee. And then what will happen is you'll be really jittery and you'll have a lot of energy, but you won't be using it efficiently. So it's also the efficient use of that. So circadian rhythms are how your body coordinates every single thing in your body from gut to brain here, and really allows that all to happen smoothly and efficiently. So it's like the processes by which things communicate and happen correctly here. So when a circadian rhythm is off, in many different ways that it does, maybe your immune system is not active at the right time of day. Maybe it's overactive at certain times, or maybe there's immunological proteins being produced, or maybe underproduced. Like it all the time it gets thrown sideways, and then you have this highly inefficient system. And then this is why they're so connected. You have an inefficient system, you're going to perpetuate that energy inefficiency, or I guess depletion, And then mm-hmm. it just becomes this downward spiral. Because then if you're really drained, then you're less efficient and so on and so forth. That's why those two pieces together are really critical at the core.
Okay. Sounds like you're talking about balance for sure, right? In some way or another, we have to figure out how to do that. But anyway, carry on.
Can I jump in for a second, Linda,
yes.
to speak to the Lyme picture piece on this? And this mm-hmm. is why I chose to work with Dylan and Molly, is when you look at the mitochondria, and like they're in every single cell in your body, and the circadian rhythm affects, they both affect everything. And for people with living with Lyme, it can affect any organ or system in the body, which is part of the reason why people fall through the cracks so much in Canada, because you're sent to every different ologist, gastroenterologist, and neurologist, all of that. And so this is what really appealed to me with working with Molly and Dylan, because you're getting to the root here. And when you heal the mitochondria and your circadian rhythm, then whatever organ system and systems are out of whack for you as a person living with Lyme, it can all start to get on board.
And Cecile, I'm talking to the doctors now, but Cecile says that you as MDs truly understand the patient perspective. Why do you think you're able to do that?
I would say that for myself, at least I have been through the ringer. I mean, I was at a point where I was in medical school. I didn't know if I was going to be able to finish. I had been diagnosed with a type of muscular dystrophy. Anyways, this genetic mm-hmm. condition. And I was at a point where I was seeing all the world-class specialists. I was the one who they would tell all the residents and fellows to come in and see this this unique case that we couldn't figure out what's going on. And she's on this like, anyway, so I know what it's like to be that medical mystery. And we just work with so many people where, you know, they have been going at it for decades and seen so many people, and just to, there's such an appreciation for you experiencing something, and you know how to explain it in words, but no one else has experienced it, or no one else understands it or gets it. And it's hard for other people to really truly believe that it's real and going on within you, and to understand that, and really appreciate it if they haven't gone through something like that themselves, which, you know, there's a lot of compassionate people in medicine, right? That's why most people go into that, mm-hmm. The healthcare field, but there's an extent to which they, you know, can truly appreciate the challenges and when they can't find answers for you, and you just keep going to the world-class specialist and they don't have answers. It's like, there's no other experience like that.
Right. And it sounds like, you know, you've been through it, so you understand other people that are going through it as well.
Yeah. And here's the thing, right? Is that I haven't gone through what Cecile has gone through. I haven't gone through what other people that we work with have gone through, but I've definitely had my own story. Mm-hmm. Right. And it is in a space where, and I've seen it time and time again. And so I know how tough it can be. And when you don't have an answer as a, you know, a practitioner, someone trying to help someone else, when other people don't have answers for like Cecile or whatnot, it's really hard to face that truth head on and say, this thing is true. And I don't know how to help you, because most people will be like, well, this can't be true because this is what I'm told is true. And so it's like, there's this battling of truths. And if they have to believe that this is something that they don't know, or they can't explain, or if it's not in her head, then what is it? Then I have to figure out an answer, or I'm at a loss and say that I don't know.
We hear stories from Canadians, so many stories from Canadians suffering from Lyme disease that have to go to the States for help. Are you hearing those same stories in your practice? And if you are, like, how many patients are you treating from Canada, or have you spoken to from Canada? Dylan?
Yeah, I mean, every day we're speaking with people. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. I can hear you.
But yeah, so every day we're speaking with people in Canada, and it's not just in Canada, right? It's other countries around the world, and even within the United States, within the healthcare system, because there are certain things that are fit in with someone's algorithm of what is normal or what's bread and butter or what they know how to deal with. And then there are things that don't fit inside that box. And that's where people get lost. And I would definitely say that, yes, in Canada, that happens very frequently. We see this all the time. And it's really up to that person who is dealing with the problem to take it upon themselves and decide, okay, if I'm not able to figure out an answer here, it's either I go somewhere else or I continue on like this and continue on the trajectory that I am on. And you know, that happens the same, like I was just mentioning, in the States, just to a different level and for different reasons, but mm-hmm. some of them are similar and overlapping.
Right. You know, I want to get back to Cecile for a minute here and ask you, Cecile, what was the turning point for you going from hoping something could be done to actually believing something can be done?
Ooh, I'm surprised after all this time that a question like that can, you know, I feel teary just hearing that.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry.
It's important. The thing is, you got to have both. But the belief is so much stronger than hope, right? Because hope is like an airy-fairy wishing, like it's great to have, but belief is like the solid concrete thing. And I always believed that I would get better. I just didn't know where to find the people mm-hmm. to help me mm-hmm. get there. And then I had gotten a certain point better with all the treatment that I've done in the US over the last 6 years, but it was like I was living half a life. And I know I've met other people working with Dylan and Molly who feel the same way, right? Like you're just feeling like a shell of an existence. And I kind of thought, okay, well, I'm grateful for what I have, but is this it? And I say this so people can understand that, like, you don't have to settle for anything less than what you want in terms of health. And it really comes down to drawing a line in the sand. Like, I refused to accept the limitations put on me by the healthcare system. I refused to be told that I would spend the rest of my life in a wheelchair or that I would be in a nursing home by the time I'm 45. I can tell you what I told the doctor, but we're on radio, so I won't.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You know, I can hear the emotion in your voice. And I know earlier you had told me that when you first met Molly and Dylan, that you cried a lot for the first right. while. And you know, they so allowed you to do that. And seriously, I'm not trying to get you, you know, to be so emotional, overly emotional now about it. But, you know, they allowed you to do that. And did you feel that that was really part of your starting to heal journey?
Oh, it was huge, Linda. Like, first of all, in terms of why I decided to work with Molly and Dylan, because I've been seeking and searching for so long, right? And it was, I knew the science. As a nurse, the science just made sense in terms of the mitochondria and the circadian picture. That made sense to me. But then when I heard Dylan's story of his recovery from adrenal fatigue and Molly's recovery, you know, with Dylan, they're a married couple, by the way, this is a love story, which is awesome. Then Dylan helping Molly recover from a genetic form of muscular dystrophy, like, that's huge. Mm-hmm. That alone sealed the deal for me. Then I was like, listen, these guys are onto something. I got to get in on this. And then when I started working with them, I realized how their approach is truly comprehensive. It focuses on the physical, on the emotional, and the mental health piece, which is huge when you've been traumatized in a healthcare system that's supposed to look after you. There's, you know, your environment and nutrition, all of those things. So what you're left with, what I'm left with now, is a roadmap for the rest of my days for wellness that I can walk out. And then they gave me the support every single step of the way. And it's been nothing short of a game changer. And I truly believe their work is revolutionary. They are the most heart-centered physicians I've ever met, and they really care. And that makes all the difference in the world. So not only did I feel like I've healed so much of my body in the last several weeks of working with them, I feel like it's helped me heal a lot of the trauma. And I don't think I fully realized how big that piece was for me. And it's the first time anyone's connected the dots in terms of specific parts of my medical story. No one's been able to connect the dots on it in the way that Dylan has.
And incredible. That's been Let's huge. Bring Dylan in here. We haven't heard from him for a little while. You're not getting off that easy, Dylan.
To Cecile's point, were you going to say something?
I was going to say something. I think it's important to bring up.
We don't have much longer, guys. Unfortunately.
The mitochondria.
The threshold?
Yeah.
Oh, so the kind of the sort of the threshold concept here that Molly wants me to talk about, and I think is important as well, is that that's why there would be people like Cecile who are kind of like, you know, half there, half not. But the point of that is when your mitochondria, again, like a power plant, this analogy runs deep, it's going to sometimes be like Chernobyl, okay? Minus speaking Russian, but it's going to be something that it's going to have this sort of like meltdown event and then lead to those constant symptoms and people getting like really getting further down into these lower levels of physiological function. And then that's when you have Lyme, the colon infections, things just keep getting there. And then people just keep kind of, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's really what happens, like circling the drain.
You can go from being quote unquote healthy, and you know, you hear about people with COVID or Lyme, they're healthy and then this happened. They're healthy and then this happened. It's all that decline of the mitochondria. And then when that stressor hits, then things just kind of fall apart.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, I hate to cut it short because it's so interesting. We've only got a couple of minutes left, but I just wanted to focus more at the last minute on, first of all, how can we get a hold of you? How can people learn more about you doctors? And also Cecile as well. So let's give us that, some of that information now, if you would. Where can we get, you know, find more information from both you doctors?
Yeah. So the best place to proceed would be to our website, which would be optimalcircadianhealth.com. If you really like videos and learning, YouTube, just put that into YouTube instead of Google there, search there. Okay. Even within there, then, you know, specifically here, you can look at our Lyme videos as well. And we're also on Facebook. We got a Facebook group, the Conquer Fatigue Alliance. That's a good place if you like Facebook better for YouTube for some odd reason or whatever kind of floats your boat. And those would be the best place to learn more. And,
okay.
You know,
and that's optimalcircadianhealth.com. That will get you, that will get anybody to where they should go to find out about you, right? More about you.
You got it.
Ideally. And the main piece is the word circadian. It's not Circadian. Mm-hmm. It's not cicada. It's C-I-R-C-A-D-I-A-N. A lot of people will get lost in Google looking for cicadas, but it's optimal circadian health.
Okay. All right. Now, Cecile, what about you? How can people find out about what you do, more about what you do?
Well, folks can find me on Facebook. Also, my email is my last name, gouge.cecile@gmail.com. And I've heard from hundreds and hundreds of Lyme patients over the last few years. I'm so delighted to finally have a resource that I feel I really trust that I can refer people to. And the other thing I wanted to quickly point out, Linda, is that I've done an interview with Dylan and Molly where I asked them a lot of questions about Lyme. You can find it on their YouTube. So yeah, you'll find it there. And it talks all about Lyme.
Yes, I've seen it. It's very good. I've watched it. And you're definitely part of the Lyme community, the greater Lyme community, and Canadian Lyme Facebook group as well. So people will find you. And your last name, G-O-U-G-H, is pronounced Goff, right?
Yeah.
Cecile Goff. I want to thank you very much. You're laughing at my pronunciation, are you? I want to thank you all very much for joining us. It's been interesting, and wish you all well on your recovery, Cecile. And you're feeling a lot better now, right?
Oh, it's like night and day.
Good. Okay. I want to thank you all for this very, 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 very much. And we'll talk again, hopefully. My guests, Cecile Goff and Drs. Molly McKinney and Dylan Petluck. Thank you all so much. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.